This morning, if you will, turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 16, and we're going to look at verses 5 through 7. The title of our message this morning is, He is not here, He is risen. And I love that in the middle of this passage that we often do talk about that Jesus is risen, and we're going to focus on that part. But I love what the angel tells the women, that He's not here. And we're living, again, as we have said each week as we've done these online services, each week we are in unusual times. And even though we're not able to gather together as a church, we are a scattered church, so to say, but we are still the church. And this morning, as we celebrate the Lord's resurrection, we have so much to be thankful for. I mean, God has watched over this church. He is providing for us. He is continuing to see us through this time. And so we need to celebrate that, I think, this year more than probably at any other point, perhaps. And so this morning, as we look at this passage, I want us to think about this idea of the fact that He's not here, that He is risen. And so as we think about this, I want to kind of give you the background, and I think you probably are familiar with this. The women have gone early on Sunday morning to go visit the tomb in order to finish finalizing or preparing the body of Jesus. And they're not ready for what they're going to face. That is, the stone has been rolled away. And now as they step into that tomb, they don't see Jesus because of what? He's risen. He's resurrected exactly the way that the Bible taught us that it would be. And so it has happened. And so the angel speaks to them, and this is where we pick up in verse 5. It says this, when they entered the tomb, they saw a young man clothed in white robes sitting on the right side. The women were shocked, but the angel said, don't be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. Now here's our title this morning. He isn't here. He is risen from the dead. Look, this is where they laid his body. Now verse 7, okay? Now go and tell his disciples, including Peter, that Jesus is going ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there just as he told you before he died. Man, I am so thankful that as we read passages like these, that we're reminded that God is a sovereign God. He's a powerful God. That he overcame death so that you and I can have a personal relationship with him. And in the world that we're living in right now, the uncertainty and the fears, and even sometimes the wondering what will happen even next week, we can rest assured that Jesus is risen. And as we think about that this morning, I want to share three truths that I think we should remember and focus on and sort of just settle on as encouragement, but also maybe a challenge. There may be some this morning who are listening or watching this who have never truly accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. So for them, as they think about Easter, that means something very different. They think of it as just a holiday, perhaps. A time that people go to church that haven't been to church in a long time, or it may be those one or two times out of the year that you do get your family together and go to church. But listen, it is much, much more than that. Easter is the cornerstone of our faith as believers, knowing that Jesus rose from the dead. And because of that, as we've said, we can have a personal relationship with Him. We can be forgiven of our sins and have a personal relationship with Him. And so as we look at this passage, here are the three things that I want us to focus on and remember this morning. Number one is this, and again, you may be able to see the points across the bottom of the screen, okay, but listen to this, He was risen. As I said, the very fabric of our faith as believers is built on the idea that what is said in this passage is true, that Jesus was crucified, He died, He was placed in the tomb, and then He rose from the dead. To deny that is to deny who Christ is, to deny the very essence of what we believe as Christians. He was risen on that morning. And so all of what we believe as Christians comes back to that emphasis that Jesus is not dead. He is risen from the dead, and He's even now ascended to the right hand of the Father. And that's where He is, and we're awaiting His return. And he will come back just in the fashion that it tells us in Scripture that he ascended to the right hand of the Father. In that glorious way of him doing that, he will return. And so that's what we're waiting on as believers. And as we think about that being the cornerstone of our faith, I mean, our salvation is built on the fact that Jesus died for our sin, and that the blood that was shed during that event now covers the sin in our lives. That blood covers the sin debt. And as you think about that, you can't have forgiveness of sins outside of what Jesus did on the cross. There are some who believe that you might be able to earn your way to forgiveness or earn your way to a relationship with Jesus and a relationship with our Heavenly Father. None of those things are possible outside of what Jesus did on the cross. And so salvation does begin with believing and claiming and accepting the forgiveness that is given to us through what Jesus did on the cross. So as we think about this, He was risen. He was risen that day, and it's important. It's a historical fact that He rose from the dead that day. And as we celebrate Easter, we are celebrating that resurrection. But let me remind you of something. We celebrate resurrection every Sunday. I mean, we certainly place emphasis on it during Easter, but if you think about it, every Sunday is a celebration of this event. So that's why it's important to us, not just one time a year, but every day we live our faith, we should be thankful for the fact that He was risen. And it's a historical fact that He was risen that day. The second thing that I want us to think about, and this kind of comes to play with where we're at right now as a world, and even as a church, and the uncertainty and the fear and the anxiety and even the depression that some may be suffering through right now because of everything in this world has seemingly just sort of come to a stop. Nothing seems to be normal right now. And the second point I think is important for us to remember right now. Listen to this. If He was risen, listen, He is still risen. And that means that He is still active in doing His work in your life and in this world. And the things that we're facing right now, the losing of jobs, the unemployment that seems to be running rampant, listen, none of that is bigger than God. And maybe right now God is teaching the church to rethink what we are as a church and what we're to do as a church. As I said last week, as we talked about the fact that maybe God is using this to draw families together. Well, let me go a step further and say, maybe He's using this to redefine how we see the church and the focus of the church. There may be some who have thought of the church in the sense of a building and in a local congregation. Listen, we're in a state of mind right now to where the church can't be limited to just a location or to a building. It's more than that. It's not just bricks and wood and a roof. It's the body of believers. And even though we're part of local congregations, we're part of the bigger church. And maybe God is preparing us for something that's going to happen in the future with our local congregation or the church in general. A revival that's coming. Preparation for even the events that may yet to come but are coming. We can rejoice today and claim the victory that was claimed some 2,000 years ago, that Jesus rose from the dead. Listen, He is still risen this morning. And we can celebrate that. And as we've said, that's something we can claim victory over. In all of the fears and the anxieties that we face, we can claim the victory of what Jesus did on the cross and beating death, raising from the dead. And now He has the opportunity to live in your life if you've accepted Him as your Lord and Savior. And that's so important for us to be reminded of that and to live according to that and not let the fear overtake us, not let the uncertainties overtake us, but claim that victory in who Jesus is and what He's done in your life and what He's continuing to do in your life, even today and what He'll do next week. And I think, again, as we celebrate Easter, that is always something that we need to be reminded of and focus on from time to time. And maybe this week, God's given this for you as an opportunity to kind of rethink. Are you living your life this week? Maybe this last week, in the things that you're facing right now, are you living your life as Jesus rose from the dead? Or do you live in a defeated state? Maybe Satan's got you so in a position that you're cowering away from the opportunities that God has given you because of the fear that's overtaking you. Maybe you need to begin to claim that victory in your life that Jesus is risen. And we can live with that certainty and that confidence. And for as much as we would say that it's a cornerstone fact of our faith, it also becomes the source, don't miss this, the source of the power that we have as believers. Listen, our power comes by way of Him. And the same power that allowed Jesus to get up off of that tomb and walk out, roll the stone away, and walk to meet the disciples, as we'll, if you keep reading, and even into the early part of Acts, we see all of that recorded that He'll appear to the disciples. Listen, all of those go back to the power that God has. And that same power is available in our lives. It is to overcome, as we've said, the fears, the uncertainties, the anxieties, the depressions. To overcome the habits, the sins in our lives. I mean, the power for forgiveness certainly is encompassed in what Jesus did on the cross. But don't think of it as just that He died. It's the power that is exhibited through the fact that He rose from the dead. And He's resurrected and He's at the right hand of the Father. That same power is what's used to work in your life to transform you into what God wants you to be and has ordained you to be. Listen, church, let me remind you of this. As one day we will, and I hope and pray that it's sooner rather than later, we are to come back into this sanctuary that's behind me and begin to meet and worship together. But let me challenge you in something. Let's not be the same. Let's be changed. Let's not take for granted the freedoms that we have in this country to worship whenever we want. We don't have that freedom right now. And so we need to know that listen, there are prices that have been paid so that we can have those freedoms. And when we're able to come back and worship, let's come back and be focused on the things that really are important. And that is celebrating who Jesus is, accomplishing the mission that God has given us as a church, being transformed into what He's ordained us to be, into His likeness, to go into this community. All of these cars that are driving by are people that live in this community that need to hear the word of Jesus. And this church can be a beacon to that. And we can sit around and talk about that all we want, but we are given an opportunity after opportunity to go out into this community and to share that truth. That's my prayer as we go through this and think about some of the changes that will be taking place, not just in our own lives, but in the life of our church as we once again reunite and come back together and begin to function as a church that's gathered. Now, don't misunderstand me. We're still the church, but we're just not in a gathered state right now. Now, listen, that also then leads me to my final point. So we've said the three truths is that He was risen, okay? That's a historical fact, as we're saying. He is still risen, okay? That's the present tense. We need to live that way. And then thirdly is this, and this is the other truth. He will still be risen tomorrow. Now I want you to think about that for a moment. As we think about what comes next week, next month, next year, and maybe what's even beyond the horizon. We don't know what will happen, but we do know something. And the fact is that Jesus is still who He claimed to be. He's the Messiah. And our salvation is locked in the certainty of what we celebrate today, that He rose from the dead. And so because of that, our salvation can't be erased. We can't lose it. It can't be taken away from us. We can't voluntarily give it up. I don't believe we can. We are certain that our salvation is held into the same power, as we said a moment ago, in what God did through Jesus in raising Him from the dead on this morning, as we celebrate that. And so as we think about that He will still be risen tomorrow, that ought to be hope for us. As we think about what may be happening or things that we may be worried about, and I know there are a lot of folks right now concerned about finances and how we're going to pay bills. Listen, God is still God. And none of the fears that we face and uncertainties are going to change that. And so as much as we can claim the victory that He is risen from the dead this morning in our present life, we also have the hope and the certainty that in the days to come He will still be risen. And nothing's going to change that. And just as much as we can claim the victory today in that, we also will be able to claim the victory in that tomorrow. And that's where we can have hope and celebrate all of what God is doing in our lives and have that confidence that He is not finished with us. And I assure you, He's not finished with you. He's not finished with me. He's not finished with this church. And He is continuing to mold us and shape us into tools and instruments that can be used by Him to go into this world, our community, and share the love of Christ, be the feet and the hands of Jesus to the people that are hurting and who are in need. Listen, we have much to be celebrating today on this Easter, and I know it's an unusual Easter. It is. It's the first time I've ever preached a sermon on Easter outside with no one around. But listen, we know that God is still in control. Now, we're going to have Emily and Andrew come back up and sing a final song for us. But before we do that, as I've done each week, I want to pray for you and pray for your family. I want to pray for the things that you're struggling with right now. Pray for this next week for you to have the confidence and the peace that really we're speaking of in this passage that comes through the power of who God is in our life. And so no matter how chaotic things may be, we have that certainty, that hope in knowing who Jesus is in our life. And so let me pray for you, and then we'll have them come up and close us out in a final song. Let me pray for you. Father, again this morning, we are thankful for every person that is listening to this, who is watching this on YouTube. God, we are thankful that even in the midst of this time of uncertainty, that we know that You are still on Your throne and nothing has changed that. And nothing will change that. And this morning, in an unusual way, as we celebrate Easter, the resurrection of our Savior, Jesus Christ, Father, we claim that victory. And as we said this morning, it's something that we now place our hope in. It's the very cornerstone of who and what we are as believers. And so, Father, we ought to live with confidence in knowing that the same power that is demonstrated in this passage can be demonstrated in our lives every single day. Now, Father, I pray right now there may be someone who's never accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. They've never asked Christ into their heart. That's so simple. It's so simple that sometimes people miss it. We just need to confess our sins to our Heavenly Father and just simply say, Father, I have sinned. And I have fallen short. And then we need to turn and invite Jesus into our lives. And so we ask Christ to come into our lives and forgive of our sins. And now we can claim that victory and experience the salvation that comes only by way of what Jesus did on the cross. And so, Father, my prayer is that if someone has not accepted Christ as Lord and Savior, that this week that You will lay that burden on their heart, convict them, to come to terms with that. Maybe all of what's going on is to bring them to this point right now so that they can pray and accept Christ as their Lord and Savior. Father, for our believers, I pray that You would empower them, give them, Father, that source of strength. I pray for our church that You would continue to keep us gathered even though we're in a scattered state right now. Help us to learn the things that You have for us to learn and to forever be changed because of what You're doing right now in our world and in our lives. Lord, we are thankful for that. And we pray all of these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. And I want to finally remind you of this. As we said the first night that we did our online service, continue to pray. Pray for our church. Pray for one another. Pray for our country and our leaders. Continue to stay connected with one another. Calling one another each week and maybe sending emails, posting things on social media, messaging people. We need to make sure that we're staying connected as a church. And then the final thing is, you remember that we need to continue to support one another, continue to support our church, support the ministries in our community. And listen, let's just remember that this is just for a season. God's going to see us through this time. And we can claim that victory, as we said in our message this morning. Thank you.